Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Privileged to have Brother Tiger and Sister Tiger with us this morning. And of course, there are regional missions representatives from our denominational headquarters, and we have so appreciated. We've known Brother Sister Tiger for many, many years, and have always appreciated their ministry. In fact, Brother Tiger. Helped us in the early days of this church's birthing and growing. And so we always have a close tie to his ministry because of that. And we're so grateful that he's able to come and be with us and share some of the things that are happening around the world in missions that we're related to, give you opportunity to participate in some of that. And he'll share all of those details with you in just a little bit. So I'm going to ask Brother Tiger to come. And just take your liberty in the Lord, and I semi-trust you, so you're all right.
Amen. Yes. Thank you so much. Wow, great to be back here in Zilla Family Worship Center and see this wonderful group of folks. I love it. This church is fantastic. I'm always blessed when I come and worship with you. So genuine.
Amen.
And so full and free to the Spirit of God to move in your life. Thank you so much. And then the exciting news, as Pastor Connor was sharing, also with me earlier as we visited together in his office, about what God is doing in this community and what God is bringing about. A wonderful transformation in many lives. This is truly what missions is all about. And it's what we are part of God's kingdom for. Not just personally to bless us, but for us to bless others. Now, while I'm sharing, we're going to have our ushers to hand out some forms this morning. And if they would do that right now while I'm talking, and you just take this. These are the annual faith promise forms. We've done this before, and you don't have to do anything right now with them. But we will give you an opportunity to give an offering, and if you would like to make a faith promise toward the end of the message today. So if you'll just take those and hold those and just kind of put them aside and don't prose through them and read them all right now, because we want you just to give full attention to what the Lord is speaking to us today up here. All right, I do want to mention just a couple of things. Today, when we do give, we want our missions offering, the cash that comes in today, whether by check or cash. And by the way, if you make a check, please make it payable to the local church here, to Family Worship Center. And they will, of course, take all the monies that come in along with the checks and make a single check payable to Church of God World Missions. And so we, if you would, do that. But there's two areas that we really want to focus in on today. First of all, in our cash that's given, we have two missionaries that have a real special need. One is a young black missionary from Africa. He lives in Michigan, and I just met with him a few days ago. And he is going, as he does each year, over to the Ivory Coast in Africa, and he builds churches. He's going there in the middle of November of this year, and he's got monies to build the church, that is, to take it as far as he can, at $7,000, you know. It goes a lot further there than it does here. But he doesn't have any monies at all to sustain himself for his food and the necessary things and travel. So we're going to try to raise about $500 for him. And then also, in addition, I will be traveling to Southeast Asia in March of this coming year. We have an incredible trip planned, and one of the areas that we're going to focus in on is there in Vietnam. We'll be in Vietnam and Cambodia and also Thailand. And God is doing some incredible things in Vietnam. And Brother Som Nook, who is the missionary overseer there, he has no funds now. They've actually cut back on that. He has no funds, and he has an incredible relationship with the underground church. And we're going there and meet with the underground pastors, but he needs the help financially. And so we're hoping to raise $500 for him and also $500 for Brother Archie Cooper, two great missionaries that are changing their part of the world for Jesus Christ. And so remember that. And then also, I thought as Pastor Connor, Brother Gary was sharing this morning, his heart about Romania, I thought, well, you know, maybe this is something God wants us to consider also. If you would like to do a faith promise for Romania, and then just write down Romania, and if you do something you want to do every month, you know, so much a month, you'd like to give or whatever, that would be wonderful. We can have that go to Romania unless you have another missionary you're supporting for the Church of God. You can put Romania down there and we'll see that it goes to Romania. In fact, what we could do, Pastor, if you feel good about this, what we'll do is all those that are not designated, we'll give it to Romania. But we could take the cash and give it to, divide it. Okay, does that sound pretty good? Sound good. You know, the pastor's heart, God gives things to the pastor to share with the people. And I just felt in my spirit, and Charlotte did too. In fact, she shared it with me. You know, it's incredible what God is doing, and it may be that God's opening a door there in Romania. So what you'll give, here again, the cash that's given through your check or cash will be divided equally between Brother Somnuk, who's in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, and Archie Cooper is going to Africa in just a couple of weeks to help sustain them. And then also, any promises given, faith promises that you give, right, or give on a monthly or weekly basis, whatever, or one time, whatever, that is going to be given to Romania, and we'll talk a little more to the pastor about how he would like that to be directed there. Woo, I feel good. Amen. Don't you? There's something about you folks make you feel young when you get up there. Oh, man, I feel so young. And you know what? I realized I got a year older since I was here last time. Every time I come, I'm a year older. You folks don't age a bit. What is going on here? Pastor, you're doing it all right. Amen. Sister Jolene. Oh, yes. The ladies are the ones that do that. I mean to tell you. Well, Charlotte's going to come and she's going to share. I have a message on my heart. Not a long message, but something I want to share with you. And then also, I have some challenges I want to share with you about missions and what God is doing around the world. So we praise the Lord. So Charlotte, she's going to minister in song now and share. And there she is. You know, she always backs me up. Praise the Lord. Just had to see it there. God bless. Amen.
Don't you love that what you did here got to Romania?
Amen. Hallelujah.
My heart has been pumping since you said that. I thought, what we're doing here today is going to affect all around the world. That's
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
And the other thing when you
yes.
said, she said, I see your heart. I think that's what God's looking for, people that will just expose him through our heart. There's a world out there that needs him. They don't know about the cross. See, when I come to the cross, I stood redeemed. When I come to the cross, I was delivered. When I come to the cross, I was restored. When I come to the cross, I was healed. When I come to the cross, I was cleaned. But some folks don't know. And speaking of clean, I was doing laundry the other day, and I looked on that little laundry thing, and it said, stain free. And I thought, that's what happened when I come to the cross, stain free. And then I saw where it said, double power. At the cross, we have the power. But here's the one I really loved. It said, die free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. That is die free. But it's at the cross. And that's our message today. Tired of junk. Just want to give them Jesus. About the cross. Father, touch us today.
Even when I fail you,
Christ. That is a real deal at the cross.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure there's enough here today that can go back with me a little bit in time and remember when you were quite young or maybe even not so long ago. When you remember the old adage, little poem that said, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Well, we look at that with some humor, but if you look at it in the context of the world today, perhaps it's a great commentary of what our world has become. People that have fallen from their dreams and their hopes, and they've come down, broken apart, and nobody in this world can fix them. Not with all the institutions, with all the social instruments, with all the government interventions, with all of the things that they try to do, they are not able to fix Humpty Dumpty and put him back on the wall. Now, the Lord's been doing some things in this church and through the pastor and through you folks where He is making a great revelation that all of us have known so long, that it doesn't take society's instruments to fix Humpty or the latest technology. It only takes Jesus Christ. And what a transformation is made. Jeremiah one day was kind of talking and arguing with the Lord. Have you ever been there? He didn't care exactly what was happening. God wasn't talking to him a lot. He was praying a lot and didn't get the answers he wanted to get. And so God said, well, really, Jeremiah, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the potter's house. And he said, instead of tell you what I'm trying to get to you, I'm going to show you what I'm doing in your life and in the life of Israel, the country, this world. And so, if you would this morning like to join me as I join Jeremiah, and we're going to go down to the potter's house together, and we're going to see what kind of revelation that Jeremiah got from God at the potter's house. Well, one thing we have to realize is that the potter was someone that was a specialist. You couldn't just say, hey, I want to go make a vessel and then go do it. No. In fact, you had to be an apprentice for 10 years before you could ever become a regular potter. You had to understand the makings, and you had to understand the preparing of the clay for you to be able to make a true piece or a vessel that the potter was to make. And so as Jeremiah got down there, he looked around and he noticed some things about this place that God had sent him, and he saw the potter as he worked. I think perhaps one of the first things he noticed was the fact that the potter was using a clay pit to pick up pieces to make the pottery. And the clay pit wasn't very attractive. In fact, it was just plain ugly, and it was hard, and it was fractured and crumbling, and it was pieces of slate that couldn't be broken, and it was just, imagine, and he looks from the clay pit, and he looks over here at some of the creations of the potter, and he says, ah, no way can that stuff there end up into that kind of vessel over there. And so he watches, but he sees the potter as he takes that clay, that old dirty, that old broken and nasty seeming clay, and he takes it in his hands and he begins to work on that clay, and things begin to happen. Now, the first thing we've got to remember is that every vessel that is made of the same substance. We all are made of clay. The same place that the neighbor you're sitting next to came from, that is, the substance, the clay, the dust of the earth you came from. So whatever you make of your life does not make, it doesn't come from the material that God used that favored you. It's all from that old clay pot that he brought together. And so as the potter comes and he begins to mold this, he takes it and he does something with this clay. He gets the clay, and if you could be there and see as Jeremiah did, he begins to work on that clay. Not a very nice scene if you don't like something that might be disturbing, because he takes the clay in this old condition and he begins to work on it and knead it and soften it, and then he takes it and he pulls it apart and he pushes it back together. He gets it and puts it on the potter's table and he stretches it up as high as he could stretch it and takes it back down. Over and over again until it begins to soften. And then he takes that big clump of clay he's got, and he takes the old knife and he slices it down right in the middle. And he takes one piece of that clay and he picks it up and he throws it down on the potter's table with a thump. And another piece, he throws it down on the potter's table with a thump. If you were watching, you probably would say, that poor old clay is getting beaten up. Now, have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like God was working on you and using you as a punching bag? Yeah. I mean, he's slicing you up one side and down the other. I think that Job probably felt that way, don't you? When Job went through the most excruciating thing in life, because God allowed some things to happen to him that Satan perpetrated in his life for a reason, and it wasn't always nice and easy. In fact, Job said, he maketh me sore, and he bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. So finally, when the clay has been prepared after weeks of preparation, so much so that you could take the clay and with a mesh of silk, hundreds of openings to the square inch, he could take that clay and push it through, and it would come out soft and formable and malleable. And now Jeremiah sees there's already been a transformation. Why, now it's not as ugly as it was, and the colors changed somewhat. And now it's just a clump of clay that's soft and formable. And now the potter, he takes the clay and he puts it on the potter's table, or the potter's wheel. begins to work on it. Now, the first thing that Ponder had to do that had to be done was he had to get, it was called the centering of the clay. He had to get that clay, because if he didn't get it centered, he was going to make it off center, and it would be more one way than the other. It would not be symmetrical. It wouldn't look right, and it wouldn't serve its purpose right. So we had to get that clay centered, and as the wheel was there and it would begin to turn it, he would make that clay until it was so centered that he actually could take his thumb and push in the middle all the way down and begin to open up that clay to begin to be developed into the vessel that he wanted it to become. Now, how did he know when it was centered? He knew that it was centered when it ceased to wobble to the right or to the left. When it ceased to deviate from one side to the other. When it began to line up in the center of his will. So he knew that it was now come conforming to the point where he could really make something of a vessel that he already had in his heart to make. You see, God has a picture for every one of us and everyone in the world today. The finished product that he has planned, that he wrote in the book in Psalm 139, that he saw before we were ever born. He said he saw our members, he saw our features before they were ever fully formed. And then another place it says, and he wrote in his book a plan for every life. And so he writes a plan. And now Jeremiah has seen some things he couldn't hear clearly with his own ears, and he's seeing some things that God is speaking to him and saying, perhaps some of the things that's happening around you are not pleasant, but they're all there for a purpose, to be in the center of my will and to be used by me. And so now the process is wonderful because he has it centered and it's ready to be formed. You know, I remember some years ago, many years ago, I guess, they used to have a soap opera. I don't know. I never watched them, but I'd heard about it. And it was called As the World Turns. Is that hit anybody today? Thank you. I feel better already. Amen. As the world turns, you know. And that's kind of the way the potter is. You see, the will that God uses, it's the world that turns. It's the life we live. It's a daily, momentous thing. Sometimes we think we're really Christians and we're really where God wants us to be, and he puts us to a little test. Like my sister, for example, a few years ago, she was on her way to church in Baton Rouge, and there was some construction, and you know how people do sometimes, they get you aggravated because they get in this line and they go all the way up when they should have got over, and then they always try to get a hole ahead of everybody. And this guy was doing that to my sister. And she looked over at him when he wanted in, and she said, Well, she gets to church, and they're worshiping like you were. For some reason, she turns around, and who do you suppose is right behind her? You're right. The guy, she said, You see, how we respond and react is an indication of how closely centered God has us in his will. You see, when you're really centered, you do things right when you're done wrong. When you're really centered, you pay your tithe when you don't think you can afford it. When you're really centered, you turn the other cheek. When you're really centered, you really care about others as much or more than yourself. And you make a difference in someone else's life. Amen. So think about it. How well centered are you? And what is God making of your life today? That's something to consider. Amen. Now, you see, many of the potters of the day and of days gone past, where they have uncovered through the archaeological studies, they found out that many of the vessels that they found were made, they actually have the imprint of the name of the potter in them. And clay is so malleable, more so than any other substance, that even the thumbprint, when it is being formed, can remain in the clay. And I wonder about you and how you think. I tell you how I think. I want God's thumbprint to be all over my life.
I want his name to be placed into my life. And when the vessel is where he wants it to be and he fires it and makes it form and permanent, I want his name to be evident and to be seen by others wherever I go. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing that Jeremiah saw was that every vessel that God made or the potter made was different than the other. No two were exactly the same. You know, you look at your neighbor and, hey, you're different than me. Somebody said, I'm an oddball. Well, thank God. I mean, did you ever go shopping before? Where you go? When you go shopping? Well, I just know from, you know, my wife. She keeps me informed. She does good, too. But anyway, I know, well, ladies, you know, they know more about it. But, you know, you go and, you ever gone to Ross's? I go to Ross's sometimes. Yeah, it's a good place to go. But sometimes, you know, in any store, they have things that are irregulars. Amen. And they also have things not only that are irregulars, but they have things that are imperfects. And then they have things that are seconds. Now let me tell you, we ought to celebrate the fact that all of us are irregulars. I mean, wouldn't you hate to be exactly like your neighbor and they would be exactly like their neighbor and everybody in the world would be exactly the same? God never intended for us to be like somebody else. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to see like him, to have his heartbeat. He wants us to do the things he did and to reach out to others around the world. You see, we all have different DNA. What reason? You know, now they can look in your eyes with certain cameras and they can identify who you are. They do this sometimes. They did it over in Asia when I was there the last time. And they put that light in your eyes and they can see who you are in your eyes. Every thumbprint, handprint is different. Toe print, footprint is different. God made us different for a reason. Why? Because he all wants us to fit into the niche that he made us to fit into. Because he knows that when he makes a vessel, he makes a masterpiece. He doesn't know how to make anything but a masterpiece. Masterpiece. And he wants that masterpiece to develop into something that's unique and different from anything else. Because you have bread vessels, you have water vessels, you have vessels that are different shapes, that do different things. And every vessel that's made, listen, first of all, it's never made for beauty only externally. It's always made to serve a purpose. Every vessel God makes, he wants that vessel. If he fills you full of something, he wants you to pour out to the world around you. Because if you let it set in your vessel very long, it will become stagnant. But whenever you pour it out, it's an empty vessel, and he comes in and he pours in more so you can pour out more to others. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I tell you? It's like when I was seeking the Holy Spirit, Pastor Gary. I remember when Sterling Marsh was there. Remember Brother Sterling? And I was seeking the Holy Spirit. Hadn't received it yet in Prosser. And I just got so close one time. And after the church was over, he said, hey, Gary, how do you feel? I said, I don't know, but I just feel like I had a bath on the inside. And that's exactly how I feel when I'm able to pour out of my life. I had a little breakfast this morning at the motel where we stayed last night. A little Hispanic lady there, and I just slipped a little bit into her hand, and she said, oh, thank you. And I said, you know, it's a joy of mine. The greatest joy I have is to give to others and help others find the good things of life. Amen. And so God has that for all of us. Think about it. And remember, as long as the Lord is making the vessel, no matter how many lumps come up, and by the way, when a lump comes up, God has to use just enough pressure to dissolve the lump. Resistance to God causes lumps to develop, and he uses enough pressure to get rid of the lump. So the more resistant you are, the more pressure he uses, and the more pain it causes. Amen. Ouch! A time or two in my life also. So here you have it. The vessel, lumps come, but he dissolves the lumps and he continues to make it. But remember this, as long as he is working in your life, here's something good His hands never leave the clay. Wow. Woo! I don't know about you, but that brought a woo out. Hallelujah. When I thought he was gone and deserted me and I couldn't feel him and I didn't get an answer, I thought, my Lord, do you really care? But all the time he had his hands around me. He said, I'm making you into what I want you to become. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. That is what I want you to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you, but the Bible goes on, and he talks about in Jeremiah. Then he says in verse 4 of Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 3 was what I had shared with you. And then the vessel said, verse said in 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it once again another vessel. You see, God all over this world has great, great plans for every life. The man that sits on the streets of India that is a paraplegic and only can beg with a little a tin can there, and it can hear the coins once in a while they're dropped in. He may get 25, 50 cents a day, just enough to exist, to live another day until somebody else drops a few coins in. No purpose, no joy, no freedom from pain, no friends. That's all he's got. But that's what the gospel is for. And that's why we pour out of our life and we give what God has given to us, so that he can pour back into us and we can be refreshed. But more importantly, so others can find Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember, you've heard of Michelangelo, I'm sure. But there was a great sculptor in Italy called Agostino, was his first name. It was Agostino D'Antonio. And in Florence, Italy, he worked one day and had been working for some weeks on a piece of marble that was large. And he finally, as other sculptors had done, he said, there is nothing I can do with this piece. And he threw it on the trash heap. And for 40 years, it lay in the trash heap. People saying, what an ugly piece of marble. But one day, Michelangelo walked by and he saw it. And he saw something inherent in that, that he knew could become something. And did you know that that was the piece of marble that he took and created one of the world's greatest sculptures, the statue of David? Wow. 40 years discarded. And I thought, when Pastor was sharing about these people that have come and they were thrown away. They've fallen off the wall. The world can't help them. But I'm so glad that Jesus Christ can. And it doesn't take a year or a week or a month to do it. But then the power and the touch of God, their life can be changed. Amen. And made into the vessel that God wants them to be. Let me tell you. I don't know, maybe last year I may have shared this with you, because I just come back from Vietnam. I'm going again in March and be going actually in a more comprehensive way and more intensive way, even this time in three different countries. But I thought about meeting with the Vietnamese, the church, the underground church, and what they have to go through and the terrible persecution they have all the time, but what God is doing in their life. And then I thought, I told you about little Zoe, I think, that little baby, you know, that was going to be put on the street, and they bought it for $100. That is, they gave the parents from Cambodia $100 so that they wouldn't throw the baby away. And now the little baby, it probably is a year old now. I can't wait to see that little baby girl again. Little Zoe, that means life. And in that wonderful orphanage, it was almost blind, but we got it in time. And for about $100, that baby's life was saved. Woo! Somebody gave $100. Think what it was transformed into. Better than two good meals, amen. Or maybe a new dress or a new suit. Yeah, better than anything we could have in this life. By the way, with this, I'm going to be bringing this to a close. I was in Africa a few years ago, and we were in a convention down in the area where tourists don't go. It was really, folks, I love these young people. They always sit up front. I thought of that earlier today. These kids are great. You got such a great group, and just every age group here. But I was there, and just think about this. A lot of these people that were there, a lot of the preachers, they actually walked 3 days before they could get to church. Many walked barefooted. They had nothing. This little building out in the middle of nowhere was filled with people. They were, you know, they don't have windows there. They just have openings in the mud adobe brick. Some of the places just have mud pews and have, you know, mud floors and mud pulpits, you know, straw and mud together. But this place had a little nicer atmosphere there, and it was filled. This building was filled. Probably 250 people there, a building that would hold normally about 75, perhaps, 100 maybe at the most. Everywhere there were people. And I saw some preachers there, and I saw that they didn't have anything nice at all. And I went to the host pastor after the service. I said, man, aren't they able to get a suit or any kind of nice? And he said, no, they don't have any money. And I said, you know what? I'm going back to my room, and I'm going to bring a suit tomorrow, and I want to give it to one of those men. I'll give it to you, and you give it to him. And so, sure enough, the next night we come back. I brought the suit, and one of the men came, and he put on that suit. And honestly, it was four sizes too big. You know, I mean, he was like this, you know. I mean, it was like, they're little guys, little folks over there. I ain't very big, but, you know, at least circumference-wise, but, you know, I'm a little taller than they are. And so here it is. And it really looked pretty bad. But everybody looked at him so envious. Never in his life had he ever even thought that he would have an opportunity to wear a suit. And then Brother Ed King, who's now with the Lord, been with him many years, but he came by the house when we were youth directors in South Carolina, and he said, you remember that guy you gave that suit to? Yeah. He said, we just buried him the other day, and we buried him in that suit. Wow. Oh, God. Is not God so good to us? Can we not? And you do. You have a heart for missions, and thank God for that. But can we not today maybe just do something extra special to touch the lives of people that will never be touched, ever, unless we reach them? In fact, to be honest with you, there are some people that if we don't respond, if you don't respond what God speaks to your heart to respond, those people will likely, very possibly, never be reached because the need is so great, but the revival is moving in such a powerful way around the world. And now is the opportunity for us to do something. So would you consider doing something really special, a love offering, a generous love offering, that we could divide between these two men, Brother Somnook. His name is Brother Somnook Montre-la-Lordrasme. That's why we call him Brother Somnook. If you get the gist. And then Brother Archie Cooper, that's a little easier just to give his whole name. But they're both incredible people. A real, real special need. We're going to divide it exactly in half. And if you wanted to go, as I said, if we want to go to Romania, I think that's wonderful. If you don't put anything down, your faith promises now, we'll go to Romania. If you are sponsoring a Church of God missionary, please put that down and just continue that too. But would you be generous? Take that form, fill out, put your name, address, phone number on it if you would. And there's a place in the upper right-hand corner to put down there how much you gave. That'll be like a receipt for your giving. You'll get tax credit for that. If you do a credit card contribution, then, of course, World Missions will take it out, as you've indicated, for a period of 12 months or however long you say. And then they will send you a tax receipt. But any others you give, as you make a faith promise, you give through the church every month or however often you have designated that, they will send it on into World Missions, and then those monies will be included in your contributions for tax reasons. Amen. So praise the Lord. Would you make a difference in some people? I could tell you many other stories about what God is doing among missionaries around the world, but for sake of time, I'm not going to this morning. But we want you to do what God asked you to do in the name of the Lord. So I'm going to have Pastor come, if you would, and I'm going to let you go ahead and take charge of the service. If you would, just however you want them to give their offering, their faith promise forms, be sure that when you finish the faith promise, if you would, and if you want to do it, here's a couple of things I do need to mention. If you want to do it on a monthly basis, check monthly, just check monthly, and then how much, either check a box or write in so we will know what those missionaries can expect or what Romania will expect for those monies to come in. And then take off when you finish, take off the back copy, that's the hard copy. You keep it and turn everything else in. If you make a check, make it payable to the local church and any cash put in there, and we'll get it into World Missions immediately as soon as we can. Thank you, Pastor. It has been a great honor today to be back. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I think what has always worked for us pretty well is for you to prepare your offering. And then our ushers will be at the door for you to give your offering directly to them. And then afterwards, we will disperse them accordingly. We want to give you an opportunity at this time to, if you have little ones that you're afraid or be afraid, you can leave if you'd like. If not, I'm going to accept no disclaimers. How's that? You need to do some things on the stage right quick? Okay. While they're doing that and getting prepared to deliver this drama to you, which I think will bless your heart, I want to know if you've noticed the beautiful flowers that we had left here for us from Kurt Hutchinson's memorial service yesterday. They were a blessing to us this morning, are they not? Amen. Let's give the Hutchinson family a hand for the wonderful thing they've done. Praise the Lord. Do you need to move them? Good thing I said something. Move that. This is kind of exciting, isn't it? Are we ready? Okay, I think we're ready. If you haven't left by now, we're not responsible for the marring of the psyches of your children. So it's your own fault. And Tom DiDomenico, he's been held down in the back there. I'm so excited about that. Okay, we're ready. Thank you. let's remain standing. We're going to close in prayer. But was that not an awesome drama? Give him another hand. Praise the Lord. Very nice. They left a few bucks behind for us, so that's good. What a good message that is in drama, amen? Well, how true that is, isn't it? He took all of our sins for him for us. Father, we love you today. We just thank you for all you mean to us, and what a wonderful drama, what a wonderful opportunity to share in missions, just the heart of reaching the lost and those that need to know Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for the mission, and we thank you for the purpose, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has done it all. And we ask it, of course, in his name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Our ushers will be waiting for you at the door there for your gifts. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.